now, live from the Daniel Scappin Studio, deep in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, it's Mike Malloy. Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to this particular podcast. It is Wednesday, the 18th of July, 2018. Another day in Trump hell for all of us who are citizens here. And actually for citizens of the world, right? Oh, sponsors tonight, neither one of whom has a message. I just want to mention that they are both very loyal sponsors to this program, and they usually don't have a message. We can do either one. For people who do have a message, send it on. We'll say it. For people who don't have a message, that's cool too. But Brother Dave in Las Vegas, Brother Dave, thank you so much. And Elise in Los Angeles, both of whom are dealing right now with excruciatingly hot weather. Los Angeles may catch fire pretty soon. Las Vegas may dry up and disappear. God knows. Anyway, Brother Dave and Elise, thank you both so much for the support, the ongoing support. A White House stenographer. Remember last night I mentioned the people, several people who had resigned. I don't know how anybody other than the thugs, and there are still a few people working for Trump who are not in the thug class. Most of them are. But I don't know how some of these people can stick around. Dan Coats, what the hell is Coats doing? Oh, well. Another one resigned, a White House stenographer who says she resigned because of Trump's lack of respect for the office. Her name is Beck Dory Stein. She worked as a stenographer for the White House during the second half of the Obama administration. Oh, well, there you go. If she worked for Obama, she's worse than Satan's minions. Anyway, she was on CNN's New Day this morning, and she said that Trump's refusal to allow stenographers in the room for meetings, this miserable fucker, see, he doesn't want any record of anything. This is another mark of an absolute criminal. But Ms. Dory Stein said he would not allow stenographers in the room for meetings or interviews. She said, quote, "I quit because I couldn't be proud of where I worked anymore." President Trump is lying to the American people and also not even trying to tell the truth. Jesus. In an op-ed for the New York Times, Dory Stein added that Trump's dislike for microphones, quote, "near his face," end quote, resulted in her office, the stenographer's pool, I guess, having less access to the Oval Office, in many cases resulting in no stenographer being present for key meetings or press availabilities or anything. What? This is not a directional mic? All right, well, if I'm turning my face away to look at the camera, I apologize if my voice is dropping off. She also said, or she wrote, I guess this was in her op-ed piece, she wrote, "In my 5 years with President Obama, off-the-record discussions with reporters happened after work hours, not for an hour in the middle of the workday, like Trump, I guess, and certainly not before an interview. She's talking about Trump's off-the-record conversation with former Fox News host and serial woman abuser Bill O'Reilly. She said, quote, Mr. Trump likes to call anyone who disagrees with him fake news. But if he's really the victim of so much inaccurate reporting, she writes, why is he so averse to having the facts recorded and transcribed? I can give you a couple reasons. Ms. Dori Stein said that Trump's refusal to use the stenographer's office in his administration shows his unwillingness to adequately learn about being president during the transition period last year. And she said also what happened, what really hurt Trump was the lack of contact with staffers from the Obama administration. You know, that's what the transition period is supposed to be about. It's supposed to, regardless of political party, make a smooth change from one administration to the other. And what that requires is all sorts of briefings and meetings among hundreds of people who must tell the incoming administration how certain things work. But Trump, being the arrogant fuck and the coward and the geek that he is, he doesn't need that. He's a what kind of a genius?
Stable
genius. Ms. Dori Stein said, quote, perhaps he didn't fully understand the role of the stenographer. That would make sense since his administration had rebuffed every invitation from the Obama transition team during an inherently stressful time, including to learn how to keep the lights on. End quote. Now, the moron, the orange bastard, was heavily criticized, as I'm sure you're aware, in British media after he gave that interview last week to the tabloid Rupert Murdoch-owned piece of shit, The Sun. It's an interview that Trump later said was fake news. This fucker is insane. I mean, it's all on tape. It's being broadcast in full to the British public. And this ignorant son of a bitch will sit there and say, oh, it's fake. No, that didn't happen. See, either he cannot tell the truth about anything, which is what I believe, or he's insane, which is what a lot of other people believe. Maybe a combination of both. Now, Ms. Trunchbull, she's back, White House Press Secretary. Ms. Trunchbull later clarified his remarks, of course, in a statement to The Hill online publication. Ms. Trunchbull said in her statement, quote, as he said in his interview with The Sun, Ms. May is a very good person, and he never said anything bad about her. He thought she was great on NATO today and is really a terrific person. He is thankful for the wonderful welcome from the Prime Minister here in the UK. How do you conduct yourself as a citizen? I'm not talking about the 40% who make up his sick fucking base. I'm talking about the 60% of us who understand that he's a liar, a thief, a grifter, has no experience doing anything except fucking people over. But we know that he's a pathological liar. He can't tell the truth about anything. He just can't. And he doesn't want to. And as a result, he never knows what the fuck he said 5 minutes earlier. I had a friend who wound up as a municipal judge a long time ago here in Atlanta. And there was a plaque attached to the front of where the judge sat. What's that called? The bench. And the plaque was very visible to the defense table and the prosecutor's table. And the plaque said, always tell the truth. That way you don't have to remember what you said. Isn't that simple? Always tell the truth. That way you don't have to remember what you said. Boy, I'll tell you. I got an email today from Bob Alexander. And he said, first I thought it was one of his writings, you know, a moment. But he said, you need to listen to the embedded sound that I'm sending you in this email. What he sent me was a chunk of Sam Cedar's program on this network. And Sam and his crew were listening to and showing to the people who were watching a Majority Report a video from, this gets complicated, I know, from a C-SPAN morning show, you know, where the host will talk a little bit about a certain issue, and then they have the Democrat line and the Republican line and the independent line or some such bullshit. So Bob Alexander said, you need to watch this. Now, I'll watch anything that Sam Cedar does because I think he's a very personable, talented guy. He really is. And he doesn't use the kind of garbage language that I do. So I'm watching this afternoon, and Bob in his email said, the sound I want you to hear starts at, I think he said, 17 minutes in. Well, rather than jump to the 17 minutes, I just listened to the whole thing because I love Sam Cedar's program. I really do. I miss this one. So I'm listening to it, and this phone call comes in from a woman who says on C-SPAN that Sam had the video recording of. This woman calls in. She says she's independent. And she said, the reason I'm calling in, I want to thank the Russians for helping Trump win the election. Now, she's dead serious. And the host of the C-SPAN show said, you want to thank the Russians? She said, oh, yeah, because if they hadn't helped him, that Hillary Clinton would have won. And then she went on and fucking on and feeding back every single bullshit line that has come out of Fox News since 1996, which is when those assholes, that propaganda machine, went on the air. And I listened to this, and I just thought that this is what has happened to this country. Now, that woman represents probably 60, 70 million people. She mentioned Benghazi. She mentioned emails. She mentioned all from the standpoint of these idiotic fuckers on Fox, the Fox sewer. It was just unnerving to sit and listen to that. Now, when we take a break, I'll try to find Bob's email and read to you what he emailed me today. Ever heard of Aubrey O'Day? She was the one that had the several years long affair with Donald Trump Jr. when he was married to his wife, who has since said fuck you and said she wants a divorce. But now, she's speaking out. Her affair with this gruesome little prick, Donald Trump Jr., the affair ended apparently a couple of months ago. And now she's talking, not about the punk, but about the big dog, about Trump Sr. On Monday, Aubrey O'Day, now she worked with the Trumps on The Celebrity Apprentice in 2011, and she aired her thoughts on the hashtag Treason Summit, under the hashtag Treason Summit on Twitter. Treason Summit. Do you get it? She tweeted that Trump and his mouthpieces, quote, need to grow the fuck up and get shit done for the common good, end quote. Now she shared the same post on her Instagram account three times, just to drive this point home. Trump needs to grow the fuck up. Anyway, it's the first time this woman, Aubrey O'Day, who is, I guess there's a TV show called Famously Single. Have you ever heard of that, Kathy? No. Well, she's on that show, I guess. It's the first time she's mentioned Trump Sr. since reports of her adulterous affair with the little prick that Trump Sr. sired, since that breakup surfaced back in March. She had her affair with Don Jr. after meeting him on The Celebrity Apprentice, formerly hosted by the prick of the United States. Oh, I'm sorry, President of the United States. This is when Don Jr. was married to Vanessa Trump and had five children. She wrote a song for Donald Trump Jr. She titled it DJT. A track on this song she wrote is a conversation between ex-lovers. It includes these lyrics. Her, you want to believe that everything with me was a lie, a fantasy? Him, I'll always want you and always wonder about it, but it doesn't matter because I have to stay here. End quote. She says the story she didn't tell back in 2016. She said it's worth millions now. Anyway, Vanessa Trump, for her part, filed for divorce from the little prick in March after 12 years of marriage. And the little prick was free to date anyone he chose then, so who did he call? Fox News host Kimberly Guilfoyle. There is really, I've said it too many times, this relationship between Trump and Fox is the same as the relationship between Hitler and Goebbels. Same thing. Did you hear what this dumb shit said yesterday? He tried to undermine NATO again. He singled out NATO's smallest and newest member, Montenegro. Montenegro. And in an interview with this dumb shit Tucker Carlson, another Fox sewer, if there's somebody stupider on Fox than Tucker Carlson, well, of course, there's Sean Hannity, but I don't know who it would be. But Trump was asked by Fucker Carlson why the U.S. should answer the call to defend Montenegro, which has only been in the alliance for about 15 months, if Montenegro was attacked. Now, Article 5 of the NATO Charter is that article that says NATO members can invoke a mutual defense clause if an attack occurs on its soil. And that would obligate all 28 members of NATO to come to that country's defense. So Tucker Carlson, in his fucking genius, asked Trump why the U.S., if Montenegro was attacked by Russia, why should we bother? This is what Tucker Carlson said, quote, let's say Montenegro, which joined last year. Why should my son go to Montenegro to defend it from attack? Trump said, quote, I understand what you're saying. I've asked the same question. Montenegro is a tiny country with very strong people. And then the little shit from the Fox sewer, Tucker, quickly said that he was, quote, I'm not against Montenegro. And he said that any country like, oh, I don't know, maybe Albania could have been applied in his hypothetical scenario. But Trump added a little bit more to this bullshit scenario between Trump and Tucker Carlson. And Trump suggested that Montenegro's, quote, aggressive people, end quote. How many times do you think Trump's been to Montenegro? Do you think he's ever met or talked with a Montenegrin? He said Montenegro's aggressive people could spark a global conflict and drag the U.S. with it. Trump said, quote, by the way, they're very strong people. They're very aggressive people. They may get aggressive. And congratulations, you're in World War III. If this weren't real, everything that we've experienced in this country since Trump came down the magic staircase with his old lady, if this weren't real, this would be some of the funniest, sickest shit ever contrived by comedy writers or horror story tellers. But this is real. Montenegro, the country has 600,000 people. If they became aggressive and started a war with Russia, they couldn't invoke Article 5 and U.S. involvement. See, this is where Trump's abysmal, monumental ignorance and Tucker Carlson's, but Trump, who doesn't know a fucking thing about NATO, this is where we could get in trouble. The reason that NATO would not come to Montenegro's rescue is because Article 5 says it has to be in response to an attack on a NATO member, not an attack from a NATO member. By the way, Montenegro pledged more troops to help fight the U.S.'s longest war in history in Afghanistan. And prior to joining NATO, this aggressive little fucking country, Montenegro, assisted in Afghanistan's reconstruction efforts for nearly 8 years. And rather than instigating World War III with Russia, Montenegro, according to Business Insider, Montenegro has had to fend off what it described as a Russian attempt to kill its prime minister in 2016. Putin and his gangsters are murderers. Every fucking one of them. This is, see what I mean? This is like some kind of a nightmare. Trump then went on to say that NATO members are not contributing enough money. Trump suggested that the United States, which according to him, quote, pays 90% of the cost to defend Europe, end quote, which is horseshit. NATO members contribute to that organization's funding on an agreed cost-share formula based on their gross national income. The United States contributes 22%. not 90. Trump said, quote, it was very unfair. They weren't paying. So not only are we paying for most of it, but they weren't even paying, and we're protecting them. Add that to your little equation on Montenegro, end quote. How much longer are we going to allow this misfit to continue? Huh? Do you know why the Republicans won't do anything to remove this rotten fucker? Guess what? Senate Republicans broke a record today for the number of appeals court judges confirmed during a president's first 2 years. That's right. They voted 50-49 on the nomination of somebody named Andrew Oldham to be a judge of the Fifth Circuit. That makes this asshole Trump's 23rd Circuit Court judge confirmed. That breaks the previous record of George Herbert Walker Bush, who got 22 appeals court judges confirmed. The turtle, Mitch McConnell, the Senate leader, this ignorant son of a bitch, said today, quote, the Senate continues to confirm impressive nominees whom President Trump has asked to serve our country. Oldham comes highly recommended by colleagues and peers from across the spectrum, end quote. Democrats, of course, and outside groups who are interested in justice have blasted this steady pace of confirming Trump circuit court nominees. For example, today, Dianne Feinstein said in a statement, quote, given his lack of judicial experience and blatantly political record, litigants who come before Mr. Oldham in court will understandably question whether they are getting an impartial judge. She added that Oldham's record, quote, could not be more extreme and overtly political. Jake Falaschini, who's the director of the Federal Courts Program at the Center for American Progress, added, quote, Oldham is yet another young right-wing firebrand who has spent his career pushing a damaging partisan agenda. But see, there's not a goddamn thing the Democrats can do unless they can win Republican support to stop these fuckers or become the majority party. What really gets me is these slimy sons of bitches like Jeff Flake. Don't be fooled by this bullshit. Every time they stop Jeff Flake in the hallway, he's got some little shitty, creepy remark to throw into the mix, usually about this bastard in the White House. But Jeff Flake continues to vote in favor of every fucking thing Trump does. So don't be fooled. I guess I'll have to look up this judge or this person. He has no judicial experience whatsoever. Oh, well. But this is just another example of how Trump is not just destroying the reputation of this country and ripping to pieces all of the underlying rules and regulations that have served the country pretty well for a number of decades. Not only is he doing that, but he's making sure that his shit will continue to happen long after he's dead and rotting in some fucking box someplace. That's the horrible part. All right, let's take a break here. And remember last night, one of the last things I said was, I want to talk to you about Maria Butina. Well, she was arrested today and put in the fucking slam. Talk about that in a minute when we come back. Oh, she was a typical Russian agent. She tried to sell sex to get into inner circles. But the connection between her, the Russian military intelligence, GRU, and the National Rifle Association, and Trump, and the flow of money. I mean, all of you who are members of the NRA, when this story finally breaks, if you don't drop your NRA membership, then you are demonstrating to everyone you know and your family that you are a fucking traitor to the United States. You, you son of a bitch. You, who likes to run around with your fucking AR-15 hanging out your ass. That's how serious this is. Ah, you don't give a shit. We'll be right back. Stay with me. Just for the record, here's the email I got from Bob Alexander today. He writes, the spectacle of Fucko the Clown siding with Putin instead of U.S. intelligence agencies over the facts about Russia rat-fucking the 2016 election makes great headlines. When Fucko attempted to walk his statement back by saying he misspoke, saying would instead of wouldn't, it's just insane. More headlines blathered back and forth. But I think what I've included here overshadows what's been exploding in the news the last couple of days. A Fucko supporter called into C-SPAN and proved that the inculcated crazy has no discernible bottom. And then he leaves a link for the YouTube video, and it's from Sam Cedar's program. You ought to get this. And then Bob writes, the transition of Fucko the Clown supporters from Americans to lunatics is complete. From Fox News' first broadcast on October 7, 1996, the goal was to disengage people from reality and usher them into fascism. Mission accomplished. Now, there's no doubt that the caller is a Republican. And a present-day Republican, Fucko the Clown supporter, is someone who has voluntarily jettisoned democracy and patriotism in order to continue to support Fucko. Isn't that amazing? How many more people are there from border to border and coast to coast that think the same way? Millions. As Angela Lansbury said in 1962's The Manchurian Candidate, quote, rallying a nation of television viewers into hysteria to sweep us into the White House with powers that will make martial law seem like anarchy. End quote. It's not the leaders, Bob concludes. It's not the leaders that bother me. It's their goddamn minions who will make day-to-day life more interesting between now and the November elections. After the election results come in, it's anybody's ballgame. Sure is. Yeah, I watched that segment of Sam Cedar's Majority Report, and it was just, I mean, it was just bizarre to hear that woman thanking Putin for making sure that Trump won to save us from Hillary. And like Bob pointed out, you could, you know, in so many words, you could write this woman off as a goddamn lunatic, which she obviously is. But there are tens of millions just like her. And they vote. This had to happen. I think this is from the New York Times. Kathy emailed this to me this afternoon. The synopsis is immigrant detention is expanding under Trump. It's getting worse. And that increases the risk of sexual assault in a system where physical abuse is not uncommon. Two women told their stories of being sexually attacked by guards while under the custody of ICE. So here it is. It's not that long. It was early morning in May when Maria was released from the T. Don Hutto Residential Detention Center in Texas. She had been granted bond and was permitted to stay with her brother in Washington, D.C. while her asylum case was pending. After gathering her belongings, she was escorted to a loading area fenced with razor wire and placed inside a cage inside a van. The driver was a male guard named Donald Dunn. Shortly after leaving the residential detention center, Dunn pulled off the road. Maria said, quote, he grabbed my breasts, he put his hands in my pants, and he touched my private parts. He touched me again and again inside the van, and my hands were tied, and he started masturbating. End quote. A 19-year-old asylum seeker, E.D., was staying in a family detention center in Pennsylvania with her 3-year-old son. A few months into her 7-month stay, she was sexually assaulted by a male guard. She said, quote, I didn't know how to refuse because he told me that I was going to be deported. I was at a jail, and he was a migration officer. It's like they order you to do something, and you have to do it. End quote. The article says that these two women are among the thousands of migrants who have said they were sexually abused while in the custody of ICE in the past 10 years. And this is according to data from the Department of Homeland Security's Office of the Inspector General. Both these women, by the way, were seeking asylum in the U.S. ICE itself has reported 1,310 claims of sexual abuse against detainees from 2013 to 2017. Watchdog organizations estimate the occurrence of sexual abuse to be much higher. And while national attention is focused on this dumb piece of shit, Trump, and this craziness, he's taking us from this to that, to this to that. Rape, beatings, violence inside detention centers continue. Now, the good Christian white people who support Trump, they don't give a shit. Well, if you don't want to get raped, why'd you come here? These are Christians. These are Christians. You certainly may. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that the world is watching this. And, you know, increasingly, I think it's difficult. I've been focused a lot on Twitter lately, and I've been tweeting a lot on your behalf. Sorry about that. But there's an awful lot of Canadian out there and folks who are saying, you got to do something, America. You know, you're starting to really hurt yourself. I mean, when you've got Chancellor Merkel in Germany saying that the United States is really no longer a reliable partner and they're going to have to start, you know, considering the relationship, then where do you go from there? I mean, once you start, you know, when President Trump calls them rapists and animals and murderers.
The immigrants.
The immigrants. when he calls them rapists and animals and murderers, are we supposed to be surprised when they treat them like animals? You know, ICE agents, I'm assuming, are probably not the gentlest creatures in the world to begin with. I can just imagine when you hear, hey, they're just rapists, they're just murderers, they're just animals, they're just animals. Why not rape the animal? But the world is watching. I mean, we can't just sit silently forever because we're going to lose any hope of redemption.
You know, the end of America, American empire, whatever you want to call it, American hegemony, the end was well on its way, starting with our wars against Iraq, against Afghanistan. I mean, the United States has done some pretty horrible shit in the past 25 years. And it was very apparent to me, probably to you too, that American empire, like the British Empire, like the French colonialism, like the Spanish, like pick a national group, that American empire was ending. And I've said for years that I thought the end of American empire would be a good thing because we cause an enormous amount of stress and early death and strain and terrible things to people on this planet in order to satisfy the capitalist pigs who run this country. And if you don't believe that, turn the fucking podcast off. So you've got no reason to listen to this. But I never thought that the end of American empire would be conducted by a psychopath. But here we are. Everything Trump is doing, like Kathy just mentioned, is destroying not just our reputation, not just the reputation of Trump, but destroying the reputation of the American people, because the thought is, in so many countries right now, why the fuck are the American people allowing this to happen? Yeah, we have our systems of peacefully transitioning from one government to another. Or from, one group that's going to govern the United States to another. But that's not what this is about. Trump has no business being president to begin with. And the fucking Russians and the Trump gangsters pulled this off. And what are we doing? We're allowing it to continue. And I'm no genius, to say the least. But if we continue to allow this to happen, we are going to cross a point, if we haven't already, where it will be impossible to turn it back around and get us on a path to fulfilling what the framers of this country put together. The documents, not their behavior, but the documents. I don't have much hope that that's going to happen. Maria Butina. A Russian military intelligence officer. Her handler is, what's his name? Torshin? Huh? Alexander Torshin, that's right. Anyway, let me share with you what the Post has about her. First of all, she founded a group in Russia. She's only 29. She founded a group in Russia called the right to bear arms. Now, if that's not a bullshit term in Russia, I don't know what is. But she put that together so that she could link up with the NRA in this country. This is really a gruesome story. So 2 days ago, she was charged with conspiracy to act as an agent of Russia. Federal prosecutors said today that Maria Butina is a foreign agent who is handled by Russian intelligence operatives and has been in contact with them while she's been in the United States. The complaint, it's not an indictment. They're going to bring an indictment. They didn't want to wait for an indictment. That takes time. They arrested her on a complaint. And now they're going to get the indictment, which will probably be 15, 20, 30 different charges. But in the meantime, she's being held where she can't escape. But she was also engaged in a so-called personal relationship with an American Republican consultant and had offered sex to at least one other person in exchange for a position with a special interest organization. Now, I hate to fall back on cliches, but Jesus fucking Christ. I mean, you know, I grew up watching movies, films. Bob Alexander knew about this, where the Russians have their spies operating, usually in Western Europe, but sometimes here in the U.S. And the Russian women spies, I mean, it was a cliche. Sex for secrets. So here we are again. I mean, this is fucking 2018. This is not 1957. But anyway. After a hearing this afternoon, the U.S. magistrate who oversaw this, Deborah Robinson, denied Ms. Butina's request to be released on bail. The judge found no combination of conditions that would ensure her return to court. I mean, they could put ankle bracelets on her until next Sunday. It doesn't make any fucking difference. This woman, all she had to do was go right across town to the Russian consulate or the Russian embassy and walk through the front gate, shut the door, end the story. She is then beyond the reach of an American court. She is then on, quote, Russian soil, just like the American embassy in Moscow is on American soil. That's the game we play. Prosecutors had argued strongly against her release, noting, quote, her history of deceptive conduct, end quote. They said Ms. Butina could slip into a Russian embassy or a Russian diplomatic vehicle and get out of the country, and had connections with wealthy business executives linked to the Putin administration. This shit's never going to stop. Every fucking time, every day, another Russian operative, another tie to Putin, another tie to Trump. Can you believe this? When she was arrested Sunday, she was planning to leave Washington and the United States. Authorities said her apartment was full of moving boxes and she had transferred money to Russia in recent days. Time to go. Anyway, the allegations laid out today explicitly link Butina to Russia's intelligence services. And they paint the portrait of a covert agent, Ms. Butina, backed by powerful patrons who went to great lengths to create a pretext for her presence here in the United States. Nothing unusual about that. That's how spies operate. Now, the details about her activities while she was in the United States, posing as a Russian gun rights activist, that was her cover. What was the name of the organization? The Right to Bear Arms in Russia. In recent years, she cozied up to top U.S. conservative, fucking conservatives, including the leadership of the National Rifle Association, Wayne the Peter. There he is, folks. Wayne LaPierre. In a court filing that could have been ripped from the television show The Americans, prosecutors described her manipulating a South Dakota political operative as part of her scheme and meeting for a private lunch in March with a Russian diplomat suspected of being a Russian intelligence officer, all while the FBI watched this. You know, the FBI that the right-wingers are trying to demonize. She came to the U.S. on a student visa in August of 2016 and got enrolled at American University in D.C. Prosecutors say she worked to infiltrate American conservative groups. Of course, these dirty fuckers. They're not conservative groups. These are fascist groups, just like Putin, in order to advance the Kremlin's interests. Anyway, this unidentified person in South Dakota that she apparently was stroking and promoting into her web, a description of that person's activities in court filings matches that of one Paul Erickson, a South Dakota political operative, with whom Miss Patina was romantically involved. According to testimony she gave to Senate investigators earlier this year, Mr. Erickson said fuck you when he was asked to comment. I don't know if he said fuck you, but he might as well have. Assistant U.S. Attorney Eric Kennerson said the investigation in South Dakota was related to fraud, but he didn't provide details. He said that investigators had retrieved documents from this unidentified person's thumb drive from a folder marked Maria. Oh. With a subfolder in the thumb drive in the name of a Russian official cited in court documents. A spokeswoman for the Russian Foreign Ministry on Wednesday today called Miss Patina's arrest alarming. She said it was aimed at undermining the outcome of the wonderful meeting in Helsinki between President Trump and our glorious President Putin. The spokeswoman for the Russian Foreign Ministry, her name is Maria Zakharova, said at a briefing in Moscow today, when it was revealed that this woman is being locked up, she said, quote, "You get the sense that someone grabbed a watch and a calculator to determine when the decision on Maria Butina's arrest should be adopted to maximally undermine the outcomes of the summit that took place between the Russian and U.S. presidents. It was that deliberately timed." The successor to Russia's KGB is the FSB. It's hard to keep all these three and four letter agencies in this country separate. But in Russia, it used to be NKVD. Then it was KGB. And now it's FSB. Among the documents seized by the FBI was a handwritten note that asked this question: how do I respond to the FSB offer of employment? Woo! some of the evidence that prosecutors offered at this hearing today were photos. Three photos were introduced into evidence. One of the photos was a surveillance photo of Maria Butina and a man having dinner in a Washington restaurant a couple of months ago. And the prosecutor who brought this into court said the man was, quote, suspected of being a Russian intelligence operative, end quote. And the photo was taken shortly before he was ordered to leave the United States as part of sanctions against the Russian government. Maria Butina's lawyer said the photo was simply two Russians having dinner together in America and proved nothing. Of course it didn't prove anything. It's just a piece of evidence. Prosecutors have said that Maria's main Russian contact was a high-level government official who matches the description of, ta-da, Alexander Torshin, a Russian central banker and one of the top gangsters associated with Putin and probably Trump. In direct messages exchanged through Twitter, prosecutors said that Maria Butina and Mr. Torshin agreed that she could operate only in secret. In a note in March of 2017, Torshin wrote, only incognito, you have upstaged Anna Chapman, which is a reference to a Russian spy who had lived freely in the United States for years before her arrest in 2010. You've upstaged her. You're better than she was. A selfie taken by Ms. Butina standing in front of the Capitol on Inauguration Day in 2017 was entered by prosecutors into evidence today. Ms. Butina sent the photo to Torshin in Russia, who responded, according to court filings, quote, you're a daredevil girl, end quote. Ms. Butina's lawyer, an American, said the photo was no different from those taken by any other Russian tourist. The Washington Post reported earlier this year that Ms. Butina was spotted at one of the inauguration balls when Trump was sworn into office in January of 2017. She was part of a group of Russians whose presence at Trump's celebration drew the attention of the FBI. Fuck, this is just unreal. It's just unreal. And wasn't there a little imp inside of you? Now, be honest. There was always a little imp inside of you who was more than a little bit nervous about the lefty liberals in this country, right? Because whenever there were demonstrations in favor of civil rights or against government interference in attempts to get civil justice in this country, there was always that little fear that those demonstrators were just a little bit too far to the left, right? And maybe they were communists. Remember that fear? Come on. You can admit it to Uncle Mike. You know. Oh, I admit it. I worked for the Atlanta Writers Collective. Here in Atlanta in the mid-70s. And we published a weekly radical left newspaper. This is when I first came, I think, to the attention of the feds. All of us who worked there were on the list. And this publication, it was firebombed once. It was constantly being raided by the FBI looking for drugs, subversive materials. I mean, all kinds of shit. It was just fucking insane. But some of the people in that writers' collective were self-identified Marxists. And they always made me a little nervous. I thought Karl Marx was a great theoretician, but Jesus Christ, I mean, that was in the mid-19th century. I mean, early 19th century, right? Right around the Industrial Revolution when Marx realized what was going to happen, but I digress. So there were several people who worked at the Writers' Collective, and when I say worked, we didn't get paid. I think maybe our managing editor might have gotten $50 a week or something. I don't know. But in the time I spent there, I was a little bit nervous by some of the real radical left wingers. I didn't quite understand their attraction to, at the time, Soviet propaganda. And boy, some of them were really into it. And I thought, wait a minute. But anyway. Isn't it weird that the United States is being sold down the river to the fascists in Russia? The communists are all dead and gone. The fascists in Russia. We are being sold down the river, not by American left-wingers, but by American right-wingers. Isn't that a bitch? Who'd have thunk it, right? The fucking right wing in this country, the Republican Party, the conservatives, the neo-fascists. They are the ones handing this country off to the fascists in Russia. What a mind fuck. What a total mind fuck. I mean, for me, it's a complete mind fuck. It's like, holy shit, all the stuff that I learned starting around, well, I guess I came of age on November 22nd, 1963. I was 21 years old. And all of a sudden, bang, 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 and the fucking world ended. But from that time on, throughout my entire life, it was always in the background. Watch out for those lefties. Watch out for those student radicals. Watch out for those civil rights people like Stokely Carmichael or H. Rapp Brown. Watch out. Watch out. Because they're going to hand the country over to a Russian dictator. That was pounded into our heads. Maybe you too. So here we are. Here I am. 50 fucking years later, and it's not the lefties. It's people like Julian Assange and Donald Trump and the little Nazi Jew Stephen Miller and Steve Bannon and all of these slime balls on the right. What a shock. Anyway, one of the prosecutors also enter into evidence a photo of Miss Bettina standing with Sergei Kislyak. Remember him? The former Russian ambassador to the U.S.? Huh? The one that Trump blabbed all the top secret information to? Remember that? Remember that? Yes, you do. Also pictures of her with Michael Flynn. Her attorney said these photos were taken at a Russian cultural event and had no significance. Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. Right, okay. All right, Mr. Driscoll. In addition to her apparent ties to the Russian government, the new court filings, the one that were filed today, alleges that Ms. Bettina had ties to, quote, wealthy businessmen in the Russian oligarchy, end quote. Ooh. That just sounds BFD, right? She had ties to wealthy businessmen. So? So does Stormy Daniels. So? But when you say wealthy businessmen in the Russian oligarchy, you're talking about something entirely different. Yeah, they're wealthy businessmen. They're not businessmen. They're fucking gangsters and thieves and fascists. So if you have ties to, quote, wealthy businessmen in the Russian oligarchy, it means you have ties to the GRU, to Putin, and to that entire murderous regime that now controls Donald Trump. And don't kid yourself, they do control him. It's soft control right now. They know how to work him. Donald Trump is a piece of putty to these people. I mean, they have, what, 75, 80, 85, when was the Russian Revolution? These fuckers have almost a century, 100 years of experience in all kinds of mind games and analysis of their targets. They know exactly how to analyze, especially someone like Trump, who just blabs his shit all over. He might as well wear neon signs that says, I'm a narcissist. I'm stupid. I don't read. I don't look at stuff. I don't want to know anything. I do whatever the last person I talk to tells me to do. He might as well have fucking signs on him. And the Russians understand that. And they know exactly how to handle him. Let me tickle your balls there, Donald. Come on over and have a beauty pageant. We'll show you a good time. What did Putin say? I had no idea he was here. What do I know? So Trump, the stable genius, these Russian operatives see him as a little ball of bubble gum that they can just roll around in their fingers and they can stretch it and they can put it back together and they do anything with it they want to do. Wealthy businessmen in the Russian oligarchy. Give me a fucking break. Prosecutors state that her Twitter messages, her chat logs, her emails referred to a Russian businessman, quote, with deep ties to the Russian presidential administration, end quote. And that this unnamed person often travels to the U.S. and has been referred to as her funder, F-U-N-D-E-R, funder, her money guy. In 2014, see, this is not shit that happened last week. In 2014, Ms. Butina engaged in text messages with a different wealthy Russian businessman concerning budgets for her trip to America and meetings with her funder. Now, the guy that apparently is this guy Erickson in South Dakota, the political consultant. He is a former Pat Buchanan presidential campaign worker. Pat Buchanan. There's a fascist if everyone existed. He's not a conservative. I guess he's still alive. Is Pat Buchanan still alive? I never hear anything from him. And Butina met him after hosting Pat Buchanan and other American gun nuts in Russia in 2013. Woo! Now, prosecutors say Erickson and Butina lived together and had a personal relationship. Prosecutors said it was a very duplicitous relationship because they found papers in which the 29-year-old Butina expressed disdain about having to live with 56-year-old Erickson. Oh, no, really? According to today's filing, quote, on at least one occasion, Butina offered an individual other than Erickson sex in exchange for a position within a special interest organization. The organization was not identified. I bet we can figure it out real quick, though, right? Uh, Prosecutors also said in the court filing today that Ms. Fatina had plotted with Erickson how she should manage visas to remain in the U.S. I had a friend one time that had a multiple entry visa. She could come and go as she wanted. I don't know if they still issue those. But they surveilled Fatina and Erickson entering a Washington bank last week. And when they came out of the bank, she sent a $3,500 wire transfer to Russia. And then on Saturday, she went to a U-Haul facility to find out about renting a truck and purchasing moving boxes. Oh, she wasn't about to leave. No, you're just a Russian taking a look at U-Haul. This is U-Haul. These are cardboard boxes. Oh! The filings also allege that Mr. Erickson helped Fatina, quote, complete her academic assignments by editing papers and answering exam questions, end quote. Now, American University admits she has a master's degree in, an American University spokesman confirmed Fatina received a master's degree this year, but he declined to comment, but pointed to university policy that allows the school to revoke the degrees if an internal investigation finds a former student engaged in academic misconduct, which means cheating. Now, the part that I am waiting, the shoe that I'm waiting to hear drop, and I'll guarantee fucking to you that the entire board of the National Rifle Association are also waiting for this shoe to drop. What I'm waiting to hear about is how the prosecutors make the case that Ms. Fatina was a go-between between the Russian gangsters and the NRA. Now, remember, the NRA gave Trump $20 million or $50 million? Trump went to their convention and said, I couldn't have been elected without your help. Where do you suppose the NRA got $20 million to fork over to a political campaign? I'll bet I know. And I'll bet the prosecutors know. And if you think about it for longer than 10 seconds, you know too. The NRA, like we've talked about for years, is a fascist organization in the United States whose sole purpose is to undermine the rule of law and help establish the fascist states of America. If you doubt that, go to their website. Read the shit that they put out there. Read some of their position papers. These fuckers are exactly like the Nazis. Exactly. With, you know, some modern updates. Putin, Trump, Ms. Fatina, the NRA, cash. What's the line from the Watergate experience? Follow the money. Who would have thought that an investigation by an almost not appointed special counsel, whose main function at the beginning was to look into the degree to which the Russians fucked with our presidential election in 2016. And according to the mandate that Mueller had and has, to take any tangential issues that came up and pursue them too. Look what is going on. It just keeps coming. How many Russians has he indicted now? 30? And Kathy insists that what's going to come out is how many Republican members of Congress, senators and representatives, got Russian money. And that's one of the reasons these rotten, cowardly shits in the U.S. Congress are saying nothing. This fucking Trump should be impeached and removed from office and then indicted, tried, convicted, and put in a fucking jail for the rest of his life. But the Republicans will do nothing. The only people in the United States who have the power now to stop this son of a bitch are the Republicans in the House and the Senate. And they will do nothing. Why? Why? They're watching the destruction of the United States by a two-bit fucking fascist dictator in Russia, assisted by a two-bit fucking American wannabe dictator here. And the Republicans are just doing nothing. Let's take a break, Kathy. I wonder when they're going to order some poison sent my way. I'll be right back. You sing the same old bus, stick like glue for better or worse. What goes around comes around again. Yeah, okay. We will open up the phone. We have one line. Here's the number, 470-545-1950. If you call in and the line is busy, it just means there's one other person talking. 470-545-1950. I never thought that I would quote George Will in a favorable way. Over the years, George Will has been the unknown to him. He doesn't know me any more than he knows a blade of grass somewhere out on the prairie. But he has been someone who I've found particularly irritating with his smarmy kind of highbrow right-wing horseshit that he's been writing for a number of years. But see, this is what's happening in the era of Trump. I don't know if it's happening to you, but a lot of people that I used to find stomach-turning, mildly so, are now, I'm finding I'm on the same side of whatever argument they're making regarding Trump. It's very unnerving. In the Washington Post today, column, an op-ed piece. Tell Pete in L.A. that it'll be just a moment, if you would, please. Oh, he can hear? Well, Pete, we can't hear you because we have you potted down. I'll come to you in just a second. So I'm reading this thing in the Post, written by George Will. And it's entitled, "This Sad, Embarrassing Wreck of a Man," referring to the president. And he starts out by saying America's child president had a play date with a KGB alumnus who surely enjoyed providing daycare. It was useful because it was a useful because illuminating event. Now we shall see how many Republicans retain a capacity for embarrassment. America's child president. The sad, embarrassing wreck of a man. Jean Kirkpatrick, a Democrat closely associated with such Democratic national security stalwarts as former Senator Henry Jackson and former Senator and former Vice President Hubert Humphrey, was President Ronald Reagan's ambassador to the United Nations. In her speech at the 1984 Republican National Convention in Dallas, she explained her disaffection from her party, the Democrats. She said, quote, "They always blame America first," end quote. In Helsinki, the president who bandies the phrase "America first" put himself first, as always, and America last behind Putin's regime. Because the Democrats had just held their convention in San Francisco, Kirkpatrick branded the, quote, "blame America first" cohort as San Francisco Democrats. 34 years on, how numerous are the Helsinki Republicans? I'll come back to this in a second. But right now, let's talk with Pete in L.A. Hey, Pete.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, how you doing?
I think I got it figured out.
Tell us, please.
I think, well, we know, Trump may not know because he's an idiot, but we know that Putin is a vindictive killer.
Right.
I was wondering, when he targeted Scarpel and his daughter in the UK, I'm wondering, why in the world is he breaking out this exotic weapon? He could have had them killed in their sleep, a bullet in the head, a mugging gone bad.
Right.
It was an object lesson for our man-child president.
Good point.
And I think the message is, hey, I've delivered for you. I gave you the election, all the money that's been laundered through your businesses. And the message is, we can get you anywhere, anytime. It's time for you to deliver. And I'll tell you something, if I was in Trump's fix, I'd be doing exactly the same thing he is.
Right.
Try and screw up NATO, the Western Europe, and stay out of our business in the Baltics, out of business with Montenegro. And why else would Trump want a private meeting except to plead his case to his loan shark? Hey, I'm doing all I can, but I'm in a fix here. I'm walking a tightrope. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. I swear to God it does, Pete. That makes perfect sense. That 2.5-hour meeting that the two fascists had, it had to consist of what you just said, of Trump pleading his case before the executioner.
Yeah, and Putin's demonstrated that he's obviously vindictive going after Scarpel.
Right.
And now that other woman died, to another couple over there?
Yeah, yeah. Well, though I think they survived, didn't they?
Well, he did. She died
yesterday
or the day before.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you, and please, keep doing what you're doing. You're more vital now than ever.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Pete. I'm glad you called in. Take care, okay?
Me too. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's also known as don't go back into the hospital.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I didn't want to go to the hospital. That was a bunch of shit, man. You know, they get you in there and you know, you have to break out. I almost asked you to bring me my fucking gun just to get out of there. No, I mean, I don't blame them for when I showed up in the emergency room. Yeah, they took a look at me and said, holy shit, this guy's about to die. But it was just a mess of symptoms, that's all. And they were all treated. And when they realized I had good insurance, Jesus, H bleeding Christ, I can't think of a test that can be administered in a hospital that they didn't administer to me. Oh, well, I don't care. Let me go back to what George Will wrote, and then we'll come back to the phone. Will goes on, what precisely did President Trump say about the diametrically opposed statements by U.S. intelligence agencies and the Senate Intelligence Committee and by Putin concerning Russia and the 2016 U.S. elections? Precision is not part of Trump's repertoire. He speaks English as though it is a second language that he learned from someone who learned English last week. I didn't know George Will could be so witty. So it is usually difficult to sift meanings from Trump's word salads. But in Helsinki, he was, for him, crystal clear about feeling no allegiance to the intelligence institutions that work at his direction and under leaders he chose. Speaking of Republicans incapable of blushing, consider Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, who for years enjoyed derivative gravitas from his association with Senator John McCain. Graham tweeted about Helsinki, quote, "Missed opportunity by President Trump to firmly hold Russia accountable for 2016 meddling and deliver a strong warning regarding future elections," end quote. A missed opportunity by a man who had not acknowledged the meddling? Contrast Lindsey Graham's mush with this on Monday from McCain, still vinegary, quote, "Today's press conference in Helsinki was one of the most disgraceful performances by an American president in memory," end quote. Or this from Arizona's other senator, Jeff Flake, quote, "I never thought I would see the day when our American president would stand on the stage with the Russian president and place blame on the United States for Russian aggression," end quote. Blame America only. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, White House Chief of Staff John Kelly, Director of National Intelligence Daniel Coates, and others might believe that they must stay in their positions lest there is no adult supervision of the Oval playpen. This is a serious worry. But so is this. Can those people do their jobs for someone who has neither respect nor loyalty for them? Like the purloined letter in Edgar Allan Poe's short story with that title, collusion with Russia is hiding in plain sight. We shall learn from Special Counsel Robert S. Mueller III's investigation whether in 2016 there was collusion with Russia by members of the Trump campaign. The world, however, saw in Helsinki something more grave, ongoing collusion between Trump, now in power, and Russia. The collusion is in what Trump says, refusing to back the United States intelligence agencies, and in what evidently went unsaid, such as, "You ought to stop disrupting Ukraine, downing civilian airliners, attempting to assassinate people abroad using poisons," and on and on and on. America elected a president who, and this is a safe surmise, who knew that he had more to fear from making his tax returns public than from keeping them secret. The most innocent inference is that for decades he has depended on an American weakness, susceptibility to the tacky charisma of wealth, which would evaporate when his tax returns revealed that he has always lied about his wealth, too. A more ominous explanation might be that his redundantly demonstrated incompetence as a businessman tumbled him into unsavory financial dependencies on Russians. A still more sinister explanation might be that the Russians have something else, something worse, to keep him compliant. The explanation is in doubt. What needs to be explained, his compliance, is not. Granted, Trump has a weak man's banal fascination with strong men whose disdain for him is evidently unimaginable to him. And yes, he only perfunctorily pretends to have priorities beyond personal aggrandizement. But just as astronomers inferred from anomalies in the orbits of planet Uranus, the existence of Neptune before actually seeing it, Mueller might infer and then find still hidden sources of the behavior of this sad, embarrassing wreck of a man. Woo! George Will in the Washington Post. All right. Rick in Philly. Hey, Rick.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, hi, Rick.
Hello.
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 All right.
Do I listen to the phone or on the radio?
Hey, Rick.
Oh, okay.
Rick, you have to... Rick?
I just have one question for you.
Rick, you have to turn off your computer. It's feeding right back into your phone call.
Gotcha.
Okay, now let's
all right.
Let's start again. Go ahead.
All right, I'm your age, a long-time resister, 100 arrests, jail, the whole thing. What I want to know is, where are all the anti-commies?
Well, they're still around, but, you know, I hope you understand that Putin and Putin's Russia is not communist. It's fascist.
Oh, no, I totally agree with you. Totally.
Right.
But I mean, how many times did we hide under desk? Russia used to be the bad word, whether they were communist or whatever they were. But I mean, what it goes to show, I think, is that we knew it was bullshit then, and now it's just proved they couldn't care less about the commies.
You're talking about the Republican members of the U.S. Congress, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you're absolutely right. I think the only and I'm beginning to believe this, that the only reason that the right wingers went so anti-communist during the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s was because it was a way to get elected.
Yep. And it was a way to get the defense budget up, as Sidney Lenz once said, scare the hell out of the American people and you can have a permanent war economy.
Yeah. So. We're there. We're there.
Yeah. We've been there. But yeah, I just wonder that. I mean, you know, I went crazy in '68 over the Vietnam War. Now I don't even know what to do. You know what I mean?
No, I perfectly know what you mean. I absolutely know what you mean, Rick. I am as confused and turned upside down as you are. This is just a mind fuck. I mean, it's just total mind fuck. That's the only explanation I have. And what to do about it? What can you or I do?
Well, civil disobedience, I'm even losing a little bit of faith in that. You got to have masses of people or forget it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we shall watch and report. Rick, I'm glad you called in. I hope you call again.
Yeah.
Take care, okay?
All right, very good, sir. Thank you.
All right, take care,
Thank
Rick.
Thank you.
Yeah, what do we do? You know, I've talked about this so many times. I still believe, like Rick apparently does too. We don't need 500,000 people marching in the streets of D.C., although that is, you know, it's impressive and it makes a statement. We don't need, scattered around the country, a total of 3 or 4 million people in the streets marching with signs and banners and chants and shouts. That is so easy to defend against. All you have to do is put the cops out there who are dressed in full battle gear. Put them out there with their war weaponry. And it becomes very intimidating. You know what the answer is? I mean this, and it's not my idea. It comes from Gandhi. It comes from Martin Luther King Jr. You take 10 million people in this country and put them in the streets and on the expressways and have them sit down silently and stay there. Now, what do you think that would do? Would the militarized police come at them with water cannons like they did with water hoses against black folk here in the South? Probably. Would they come at us with snarling German shepherds like they did to black folk here in the South? Probably. But there's not enough water and there's not enough dogs to move 10, 15 million people who will not be moved. I'm all in favor of the emotional release that a huge march can bring. The last big one I attended was in New York City, the environmental, what was it, anti-global warming march. What was that, Kathy? I can't remember. It was only 3 or 4 years ago. That was the one with Tara. I met up with Tara Devlin and Sam Cedar and Jack Wilkes, along with 500,000 other people. And it was very much an astonishing gathering of people. And I'm sure that some of the folks who attended that or witnessed it or heard about it probably decided to become active in movements designed to save the human species and a lot of other species from this onslaught of death that global warming is bringing. I'm assuming that. But as far as see, I'm a product of the United States. I look for immediate results. Stupid me. As far as any immediate result, there was none. Which is not to denigrate all of us who marched. I mean, sure, we were there. People from all over the goddamn country were there for that demonstration. But it was what you would expect it would be. Hundreds of thousands of people marching and chanting and feeling that just with their presence, they were having an effect on the idea of global climate change. But we didn't. And that's why I swear to you, I'm a firm believer in passive resistance, civil disobedience that only encompasses a refusal to move. I guess that would be disobeying a police officer. But 10 million people could stop this whole goddamn country. No. I don't think it'll happen. Emotional problems is on the phone. Hi, EP.
Well, hello, boss. What's new?
What's new?
Well, it's better than what's old, I think.
Yeah, well, that's true. Talk to me.
Pardon me?
Talk to me. It's your quarter. Dime, 50 cents.
Okay.
I don't, you know.
Well, I just had a little thing to say about the Kavanaugh situation. You may have gotten an email from me, I suppose it would be last week now. But I don't think we have anything to worry about.
You don't think he's going to be confirmed to the Supreme Court?
Well, what day was it that he was nominated last Monday?
I think so, right.
Yeah, well, already on Tuesday, I had gotten a robocall from Judicial Action Group, and if these people are very special. If you want to do a search on them, and anyway, Kavanaugh, in their estimation, is too liberal, so he needs to be blocked.
I knew there was a punchline coming. He's too liberal.
Nothing to worry about, boss.
So therefore he will not be confirmed, right?
Well, I don't know about that, but there's some opposition out there, by God, and I don't know what they're going to do, but they might do something.
He's too liberal. Holy shit.
Well, I mean, this was like practically within 24 hours. You know, I mean, it's hard to beat that.
Within 24 hours of Trump nominating him, you got a robocall from an extreme right-wing group that said, forget Kavanaugh, he's too liberal. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, basically, that's what the
oh my God,
robocall said.
Oh, yeah, well.
And if you want to see some real special folks, you should do a search on Judicial Action Group.
Judicial Action Group.
Yes.
All right, I'm writing that down because sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning when Trump might be sending out tweets and I can't sleep, I like to look up these right-wing crazy fuckers. Judicial Action Group?
Yes.
Okay, I've got it down. Jesus, God.
And just believe me, they are so special that, well, you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll check them out. So what's going on in the world of emotional problems?
Well, actually, hopefully I've got enough time to, I've got to think of how to make this so short. You never know where you find a pearl of wisdom.
That's true.
I was playing around on some science fiction thing or something and came across this 1958 waste of film called The Astounding She Monster. And it's 62 minutes long, and they had a $18,000 budget. Boy, I tell you what, I don't know what cost $18,000 in. And somebody saved some money someplace.
The Astounding She Monster?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
The She Monster's vinyl suit or whatever it was, glowing suit, the first time that she bent over, the actress, the back of it split, and they couldn't replace the suit. So during the film, every time she got shot at or whatever, she had to back away from whatever the danger was.
Are you okay, emotional problems? You sound like you might be in crisis right now.
No. It's no. Okay. But what I wanted to say about the Pearl of Wisdom was about 19 minutes into the film.
Right.
The kidnappers are up in this cabin, and the geologist finds out that they've kidnapped this woman, and they get into a discussion about redistribution of wealth. And it goes back and forth, and I'll just like kind of encapsulate it to the end of it, where the guy, the kidnapper, is like saying, "So I'm going to get mine, however I have to do it." And the geologist says something about, "Well, that's criminal, isn't it?" And the kidnapper says, "Well, it's only criminal because we're in the minority." Now, you take this Hitler person who had a million or so crooks around him, and all of a sudden you've got the ruling party.
Yeah.
So, you know, and with the back and forth that led up to that. And I thought we could advance that, update that to today. And you take this Trump character who has millions of crooks around him.
Mm-hmm.
And well, once again, you've got the ruling party.
That's amazing, emotional problems. I'm staggered how you managed to pick that pearl of wisdom out of that great big bucket of boiled owl shit. I'm just totally amazed.
Well, like I say, you never know where you're going to find it.
Yeah, that's very true. All right, EP, you have a good night. I certainly hope you call in again, okay?
Well, I promise I will call in again, given the opportunity.
All right. Take care, emotional problems. We love you
very
much.
Thanks, boss.
No more calls. We have to close out the evening here in just a couple of minutes. Emotional problems cracks me up. What's his real name? Oh, he used to be in our chat room. He cracks me up. We only have a couple of minutes left, and I'm just not sure how to squirm out of the topics that I brought up tonight. It used to be back in the day when I was doing talk radio, you know, I would have certain number of topics to discuss either as monologue or with callers who called in. But I always had kind of a tie it up. The end of the show is here. Kind of last statements. And they always made sense. I don't have that anymore. I don't know what to say at the end of each program, each podcast.
What is it they call those happy little tags at the end of every newscast? Not the bump or the jump or the, what do they call it? You know, when they always say, and today in South Florida, this cuddly little, you know, bear
that's called the kicker.
The kicker. So you need a kicker. Well, I'll tell you one kicker. Y'all go watch Rachel Maddow if you haven't already on the replay because she's going to have Dan Coates on.
Ooh.
And I have a feeling that'll be fun. It's even going to be more fun next Wednesday when Dan Coates is testifying before Congress.
Well,
so there's your kicker. Go set your VCRs or whatever.
But see, to me, the honorable thing for Dan Coates to do would be to resign his position as Director of National Intelligence and make it very clear why he's resigning. Now, I know the theory on the other side, exactly what George Will said. If these people do resign as a matter of conscience, who's going to be there to take care of this big, blubbering, ignorant fucking baby who is just tearing everything to pieces? I'll see you next time. In the meantime, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.